Baruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. Tonight we are studying Parashat Beshalach. Our Parashah is also known as the Parashah of the Shira, and the Shabbat has a special name to it. Because of its significance, it is known as Shabbat Shira. And that is because of the song of the Az Yashir that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people sang as the Jewish people crossed the Yam Suf and witnessed the downfall of the Egyptian Empire. I want you to know there is much sigulot in this shir, in this Shira. There's no coincidence why the Hachamim established that we say it every day in the Tefillah. That shows its importance. There's many other parashiyot that the Hachamim also wanted us to say every day. For example, Parashat Haman, Shulchan Aruch brings down that it's proper to say every day, but it didn't become mandatory and binding like the Az Yashir Moshe. The books bring down that one that says this Shira with Kavanah, with good intent, it has the ability to atone for all sins. Look at the Kaf HaHayim. He brings that down. It's Kapara for all Avonot. And furthermore, one that's in a crisis and needs a Yeshua, and needs a redemption, a salvation, if he says the Az Yashir with Kavanah, as the Pasuk says, Vayhili Yeshua, and God was my salvation, Borei Olam will come through for him. So therefore, it's one of the most key portions of the Tefillah. They tell a story of one of the great Hachamim, the Magid from Mezrich. The Magid from Mezrich had two students. He had a student called Rav Shmelka and a student called the Hafla'a. The Hafla'a was Rashi Tevot, Harav Pinchas Levi Ish Hurwitz. And Rav Shmelka, they were brothers. And one day the Magid Mezrich said he sees great darkness coming down into the world. The reform movement at the time is taking grip, and therefore he has to do something in order to stop it. And he says, my two students, Rav Shmelka and the Baal Hafla'a, they're going to be involved in stopping the reform movement. And he dispatched them to become rabbis in two prime cities in Germany. Rav Shmelka became the rabbi in Nikolaisburg, and Hafla'a became the rabbi in Frankfurt. Rav Shmelka was a tzaddik. He wore a talit over his head the whole day in order that he shouldn't have to look at something that's asur. And when he became inaugurated as the rabbi, everybody came to shake his hand. And one of the people that came to shake his hand was the founder of the reform movement, Moses Mendelssohn. Shem l'shaim yirkav. And when he came to shake the rabbi's hand, the rabbi of course was not looking at him. And he said, you I will not shake hands to. You must leave my room. And he said bad words towards Mendelssohn. Words that are befitting and becoming to him. Mendelssohn got upset. It was ge'er. And he said, I'm going to be melchin on this rabbi. He was influential. He went to the government. And he said that they appointed a new chief rabbi in Nikolaisburg. And he doesn't even know how to read German. And he doesn't know how to write the language. In the olden days, the appointments of rabbis needed government approval. And here now Mendelssohn was melchin. And it was a major thing. They summoned Rav Shmelka to the court in Vienna. And Mendelssohn arranged it that he should get the invitation to the court, or summons, I should say, to the court on a Friday, not giving him any time to make it to Vienna by Monday morning's meeting. So it was a setup. So he wouldn't be able to get there. The court in Vienna would find him in contempt, and they would punish him. So the Shaim, the Mesirut, Mendelssohn being Moser on the rabbi. So what happened? Over the Shabbat, Rav Shmelka was very calm. He had no problems. Menuchat the Shabbat. His family said, aren't you worried? I'm not worried. Motzei Shabbat, we'll go to Vienna. You're not going to get there in time. He says, Al tadag. Don't worry. They got on the horse, Motzei Shabbat. Miracle of miracles. It seems the wagon driver fell asleep at the wheel, at the reins, I guess we'd call it. And all of a sudden, when he woke up, they found themselves by Vienna. Kefisat ha-derech, nisen nisim. But the only thing that was separating from Vienna was the water. And the water was already frozen from the winter, and on that day, the ice started to thaw. If you ever saw a river or a lake where the ice starts to thaw. So there were no boats that were going across, because it was very dangerous. Who's going to go through an icy lake, an icy river, especially in the small little boats? Sakanat nefashot. I recently was in Alaska, and we were on a humongous boat. It's not a boat, it's a ship, a cruise liner. And we went to see the snow caps, the glaciers. And even on such a big boat, the captain was scared to come too close because of the pieces of ice that can damage a cruise liner. So they only go within 10 miles of the glacier. So could you imagine, over here by this lake, they have the small little boats. So Rav Shmelka comes along and says, who wants to take me across? They say, what are you, crazy? We don't take anybody across. They say, not Mavet. They have to be a Meshugah to go into the waters today. So one captain of a little boat, the sailor, he says, this man looks like a big Sadiq. He looks like a holy man. I'm taking him. The rabbi said, don't worry, nothing's going to happen to you. Who was on the other side of the river in Vienna? There was a great rabbi called the Noda Bihuda, Rabbi Haskel Landau. The Noda Bihuda was friendly with the prince in Vienna. And Rav Shmelka was his friend. He heard that there's a court case against his friend, so he had went to Vienna on his own to speak to the prince to protect his friend. That day, the prince had come, I want to show you something. On that day was the day that I said the waters were thawing out, so it was a sight to see. Everybody would go to the waters those days to look at the ice melt. And you see the waters overflowing. And we went to Alaska to see such a thing, so it's something to see. So what happens? Rabbi Haskel Landau was standing by the banks of the water with the prince of Vienna, and all of a sudden he has his binoculars, the prince, and he sees one boat in the water. And he can't imagine, who in the world is going to such dangerous waters on such a day? And all of a sudden he notices that every time the boat gets close to a piece of ice, the ice moves away and there's a path. The ice breaks and there's a path. He says, I can't believe what I'm seeing over here. He shows up, he has scared out. He says, look at this miracle in the city. See, the boat is navigating through the ice caps, through the ice in the water, and nothing. There's no danger, Bichlal. They said, who's this man on the boat? Sure enough, who was it? It was Rav Shmelka. They asked him, how did you do this? He said, I have a tradition. The whole time I was on the boat, I was singing the Az Yashir. How God split the waters for the Jewish people. And every time he's saying the words, the water is moving for him, the ice is moving for him. The prince was amazed. What a tzaddik this is. So they brought him to the court. They said, but how is it possible you don't speak German? He said, who said I don't speak German? I speak German, I write German. He says, these are Shaim over here, Mendelssohn. He was Melchin on you. Not only did they give Rav Shmelka his position back, but they gave him the permission to dan dinei nefashot, which they didn't give to any rabbi. He was able to already rule capital punishment cases. If he wanted to kill somebody in the community, the government gave him permission. You talk about putting somebody in harem. This is already, he had the ability to do the dan dinei nefashot. And he was able to kick Mendelssohn out of Nikolaisburg, where he was, and then he ended up going to Berlin. Turns out, Rav Shmelka's student happened to be the Mordechai Bennett, who was very strong against the reform movement, and the Hafla'ah student was the Hatam Sofer, who was also against the reform movement. So the Magid B'Mezrich set these two students in play to fight the reform. But you see the koach and the power of this inyan of the Az Yashir Moshe of saying it. That being said, when the Jewish people were leaving, it was a momentous night. Everybody was excited. And besides Am Yisrael wanting to sing a song, the angels wanted to sing a song as well. The Gemara Megillah says, "Bikshu malachei asharet lomar shira." The angels in heaven, when they saw such an amazing and awesome sight, how the Egyptians are drowning in the water, they also wanted to sing. So God tells the angels, מעשה ידיי טובעים בים, ואתם אומרים שירה. Dear angels, do you see what's happening? My creatures are drowning in the water, and you want to sing? As if God has become the advocate now for the Egyptians. But God feels bad that the Egyptians are drowning? What happened to the pasuk that says in Mishle, Ba'avod Resha'im Rina? When the Resha'im drown, we make a party. Yom Simcha LeYehudim, Yom Simcha LeMalachim. God should have said, you sing and I'll harmonize. And instead, God tells the angels, you want to sing? You see what's happening? Ma'aseh Adai Tefraim Bayam? So I saw a novel interpretation to explain exactly what happened in the Hatam Sofer. Many of you are students of the Navi. We learned the story with Hizkiyah Melech Yehuda. It was the night of Pesach, and on the other side of the wall of Jerusalem, there was the king of Ashur, the king of Assyria, Sanhedrin, with 180,000 soldiers. And they were ployed in order to attack Yerushalayim. And the Jewish people were not prepared militarily. Hizkiyah Melech did not have a formal army. And the people came to Hizkiyah, what's going to be? How are we going to win this war? He says, we're going to eat matzah tonight. We're going to eat, drink the arba kosot. We're going to have the maror. We're going to lean to the left. Hashem yirachem. And then everybody's going to go to sleep. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to make a miracle for us. Sure enough, they wake up the next morning. It's quiet. What happened to Sanhedrin and his soldiers? They look on top of the wall. They're all dead. 180,000 soldiers died in their sleep. Comes the Gemara Sanhedrin and says, how did they die? Was there an epidemic? Was there poison in the water? The war was over and Hizkiyah did not have to shoot one bullet. How? So the Gemara says that that night, Lil Pesach, the angels were praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Sevaot, Menoch, Laretz, Kevodo. And the song of the angels was so pleasant that the neshamot of those soldiers of Sanhedrin were drawn up with the song of the Malachim. And the Gemara learns from here that when the Malachim sing, the Neshamot are able to be drawn towards that melodious sound, and it's a pleasant death. So although they died, but it was a pleasant death, it seemed they had a zechut, that they should die in such a pleasant way. Oh, now says the Hatam Sofer, the Egyptians are drowning in Yam Suf. Bikshu malachei asharet lomar shira. They wanted to sing. God says, you want these Egyptians to die a pleasant death? These are the Egyptians that drowned my children. These are the Egyptians that took my Jewish children and drowned them. Ma'aseh yadai tov'im bayam. My children are drowning in the water, meaning the Jewish children were drowning in the waters. V'atem omrim shira, you want to sing them to death? Hal'iteo l'rashav v'yamot. Let them die a miserable death. Don't sing. Let them suffer. Like it says in the song. The ma'aseh yadai is not the Egyptians. God don't care about the Egyptians. Ba'abud r'sha'im nina. Ma'aseh yadai is by Jews. These were criminals, these Egyptians. They were sadistic. They came and drowned Jewish boys. Ma'aseh yadai to me, my God, it's in front of me. I still see it in front of me. Where God sits, the past is in the present. Everything happens in the present. Ba'akedat Yitzhak Hayom Tizkor. Everything is in the present. God says, I'm still witnessing what he did, what they did to my ma'aseh yadai. V'atim omrim shira. They don't deserve to die a pleasant death. Let them die suffering. And then the Jewish people get to the Yam Suf, and they're sandwiched. The Yam Suf is on one side, and the Egyptians are on the other side. If they go forward, they drown. If they go backwards, they walk into their enemy's hands. And the Pasuk says, God tells Moshe, don't worry. Hit yasevu, ru. Stand up, have faith. You're going to see Yeshua Hashem, the salvation of God. Adonai Yelachem Lachem. ve'atem taharishun. And there's an interesting midrash on this pasuk. God will fight for you, and you keep quiet. What does it mean? So the midrash writes, the Mechilta, lo b'sha'azu bilvad yilachem lachem, ela le'olam yilachem keneged oybechem. God made a promise at that moment. I'm not going to only fight for you at this moment. Hashem yilachem lachem. I'm going to fight for you in the future as well. Whenever Am Yisrael is going to be in peril, in danger, God guaranteed at that moment, I'm going to be there for you. And in all the subsequent wars, where the anti-Semites came against us, God made that pact with Am Yisrael as they were crossing Yam Suf. God said, not only today I'm going to save you, but I'm going to save you tomorrow as well, in the future. Comes the great Gaon Meshech Chochmah, and he says, what's the message of this Midrash? So he says, here the Jewish people were saved because they had a good claim to be saved. They told God, were there no cemeteries in Egypt? You had to kill us in the Midbar? What did you take us out to kill us for? We were fine in Egypt. If you wanted to kill us, you could have just killed us in Egypt. What did you bring us out to the Midbar over here to die? When God heard that claim, he said, it's a good claim. And therefore God said, let the sea split. In this case, the sea split, or the salvation came because we had a good claim. But what's going to happen in the future when maybe we're not going to have a claim? Maybe there's going to come a generation where we're not deserving for the victory. Maybe we're not going to be deserving of the graces of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In that generation where we're silent, then what's going to happen? Says the Meshech Chokmah, God says, Hashem yilachem lachem, God's going to fight for Am Yisrael in the future, ve'atem taharishun, even though you're going to be silent. Now you have a claim. But even if you're not worthy, even if you don't have a claim to win the war, ve'atem taharishun, you're quiet, you're silenced. Hashem yilachem lachem. So God was reassuring them that whether you're worthy or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be there. Hakamim tell us in this story of Yesiat Misraim that when they got to the waters, Moshe Rabbeinu needed to extract the Aron of Yosef. You see, Yosef HaSadiq made the Jewish people promise that when they leave, they're going to take his bones. Yosef HaSadiq's bones were in a very inconspicuous place. Paro put his bones in a metal coffin, and he buried it at the bottom of the Nile. And now Moshe Rabbeinu took upon himself the task of lifting the bones of Yosef out of the Nile, miraculously, and he took it upon himself to take Yosef out of Egypt. I saw a derasha. The pasuk writes regarding this that Yosef told the Jewish people, "V'ha'alitem et atzmotayim mizeh etechem, you'll take my bones with you." V'yikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef emo, and Yosef took the bones of Yosef with him. Whenever you see the word emo in the Torah, listen to a rule, says the Gaon de Vilna. Emo always means there's something similar. Emo means there's an equality. Vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef immo. He didn't just take it with him, but he compared himself to the bones of Yosef. What does it mean? Yosef HaSadiq was criticized by his brothers. The brothers told Yosef, you have hatred against us, you have jealousy against us, that's why you're going to our father to speak Lashon Hara. They indicted Yosef for bad midot for hatred and jealousy. That's what they thought Yosef was. That's why they tried to knock him off. They thought he was guilty of these crimes. Yosef at the end of his life tells the brothers, if I'm guilty of jealousy, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishle, Urkav Atzamot Kin'ah, the one that's jealous, his bones rot. Yosef said, you're going to see in 200 years from now, V'ha'alitem et atzmotai mizeh etnechem. You're going to take my bones. That'll be the proof that you misjudged me, that you misread me, because if I was that jealous monger that you thought I was, my bones won't be around in 200 years. And sure enough, 200 years later, when Moshe is taking the bones out, he learned the lesson. He said, if Yosef HaSadiq, who the brothers wronged him, and the brothers mistreated him, and they tried to kill him, and they sold him a few times, and they left him to die. And what was Yosef's reaction? Yosef's reaction to the brothers was, Elohim hashava letova, everything's for the best. God has orchestrated this. I have no claims against you. And he forgave the brothers. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm now about to become the leader of Klal Yisrael. I'm about to take the Jewish people into the Midbar for 40 years. Am Yisrael is not an easy nation, as you know. Am Kishe'orif. And every single day there was another claim against Moshe. Take us back to Egypt and you don't know what you're doing. And they challenged his authority. And they challenged his appointments. Everything Moshe Rabbeinu did, there was critics. They even questioned that he might have siphoned some money for himself from the Mishkan. According to one midrash, they claimed that he committed adultery, Chas v'Shalom. Every claim you can imagine, they leveled against Moshe. Vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef imo. He took the atzmot Yosef with him. He took the trait of Yosef, not to take revenge, not to hold a grudge, not to hold animosity, even though they're 100% wrong and you're right, let it go. Vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef. Not only physically did he take the bones, but imo with him, he connected himself to the midah of Yosef. Not to make a sweet revenge, not to make a nekama, not to have animosity. That made Moshe Rabbeinu the quintessential leader. What do you think? Moshe Rabbeinu only was able to bury Korach. He could have buried Datan v'Aviram 100 times if he wanted. He could have buried all Klal Yisrael when they complained. But the greatness of Moshe was, Vayikach Moshe Tasmot Yosef Imo. He had that midah. But the bones of Yosef served a different purpose here. It says when the bones floated to the top of the water, Hayam Ra'av Ayanos. The Yam saw the bones of Yosef, Vayanos, got scared, and it ran. The Pasuk, the Midrash writes, Yanus mepene hanas. Let the waters run from the one that ran. By Yosef HaSadiq it says, Vayazov bigdo biyada vayanots vayesa husa. You remember Yosef was being seduced by Eshet Potiphar. And it was a daily seduction. And finally Yosef left his clothes in her hands. Vayanos. And he ran out. He escaped. So the Midrash writes, Hayam ra'a vayanos. Vayanos. It ran because it saw the bones of Yosef. Midah keneged midah. You ran, it ran. It's a very nice Midrash. Only problem is, the Gemara says in another place, on a pasuk, you have to learn these pasukim correctly, pasuk writes, Vayet Moshe et yado al hayam, Moshe sticks his hand on the yam, Vayasho vayam lifnot boker le'etano. It says, and the water returned back to its power. Not only did Moshe split the sea, but he unsplit the sea. When the miracle was over, he hit and it went back, le'etanot, to become a raging river. Comes the Midrash and says,
When Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to split the sea balked. The sea said, I'm not splitting. No, you're not splitting. I told you to split. No. Already I have a commandment from God to be water. My mission when I was created, was to remain a body of water. I'm not listening. I take orders from God. So God comes along to the water, the Midrash says, and says, listen, you have to split. Because God already made a deal with the waters in Sheshet Yemei Ma'aseh Bereshit, that when the time comes, you're going to have to split. Shene Emar, Yikavu Amayim, V'Tera'e Ayabasha. God told the waters, listen, and it's going to come a time where you're going to have to collect yourselves and let the Yabasha be seen. And the Gemara says on the words, Vayashu Vayam Le'etano, the word etano is the same letters as tena'o. Because already was preconditioned, it was pre-programmed into the Yam Suf. There's going to come a time of Yisiat Mesnayim where you're going to have to make good on that condition. You were built that in 2,448 years from your creation, you're going to have to split temporarily. So therefore the Yam went Le'etano. It had to fulfill its original condition. Only problem is, I thought it split because of Yosef. Make up your mind, did it split because of Yosef, or did it split because of the condition? And if I can confuse you a drop more. The condition was to split. Why then does it say in the Pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu unsplit the sea, when he made it go back to a sea, Vayashov Hayam Nifnot Boker Le'etanor, to its condition. The condition wasn't to become an ocean. The condition was to split. Why is it written at the end when he closed it? So listen to a deep interpretation of what's taking place here. About that, this is just an introduction. My purpose is to get to the Az Yashir, but you just have to get an overview of what's taking place so we can get to the Az Yashir. So if you want to get a coffee or something, now's the time to get it. I'll tell you when we're going to start officially the class. This is just a warm-up. Just to get comfortable. The explanation is as follows. Rabbi Menachem Azariah Mipano, the great Mekubal, he writes that the Jewish people were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. All of us know that. But Borei Olam took us out 190 years early. Why? So he says, because the Jewish people were on the 49th level of Tum'ah, of spiritual contamination. And if we would have remained in Mitzrayim one more moment, we would have reached a point of no return, spiritual oblivion. When we say the 49th level, it means 49.99999. One more moment in Egypt, you reach level 50. Once you reach level 50, it's a black hole. You can't come out of that. And if God didn't take us out at that moment, we would have still been there. This class would have been given tonight. We would have been in Alexandria tonight giving the class. There'd be no class. Like we say in Nagadash of Pesach. So Rama Mipano says, but we were still short 190 years. When did we make up the 190 years? He says, the Galut that we're in now, that's almost 2,000 years, That's to make up the 190 years shortfall. Now why should it take 2,000 years to make up 190 years? You don't have to be a mathematician to figure this out, but the numbers don't match. So he writes, it's a little Kabbalistic, but he says, it seems that they were able to make the tikkun faster. You know, what they were able to do in 210 years, it's taking us close to 2,000 years to accomplish. And then he writes that there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, in Perek Yud Aleph, that says when the final Geula comes, which really comes out, there's two phases of the Geula of Mitzrayim. That's what I'm telling you now. The Geula of Mitzrayim is really pending. That which we left 210 years, we got an early pass, but it's not over yet. the final exile, he says, is going to complete the 190 years. Then Geulat Mitzrayim is going to be complete. And he writes, that's why in the night of Pesach, we have a minhag to break the matzah in half. The minhag of Yahas. Why? Because we're saying that the Geulat Mitzrayim happens in two stages. And that's why we take the bigger piece, he says, and we put it for the Afikoman. Because the lion's share of the Galut, the bigger piece, that's Safun, that's going to be in the future. So we're still waiting for the ultimate Geulah of Mitzrayim. And he says, the Pasuk writes in Yeshaya, I'm not going to confuse you with the words, but there's going to be another splitting of the sea. Which sea is exactly going to split, I can't tell you. Is it the Atlantic Ocean? Is it the Panama Canal? Is it the intercoastal? I cannot explain exactly which body of water is going to split. But the Navi says something's going to split and we're going to walk through it. So listen to the explanation. The Jewish people are leaving Egypt. God made a condition with Yam Suf when it created it. It's going to come a time when the Jews leave, you're going to have to split. The Yam says, Yam looks at its clock. Says, no, it's 210 years. It's not the time yet. I have a deal with God, 2,448. That's not the year that I made with Him. I'm not splitting. I don't have to split now. The Jews are not worthy to leave Egypt now. I don't know what this 49.9, the Yams, I didn't tell the Kabbalah. I know, I didn't make a deal like this. They said 400 years. I'm not splitting. So therefore, what happened? You needed an alternate reason for it to split. What's the alternate? The Aron of Yosef. The Aron of Yosef was able to make it happen. Oh, once it split, now Moshe Rabbeinu puts it back to where it is. Vayasho vayam le'etano. Now the yam goes back to its original condition when Mashiach comes. Which means now the condition is back intact. After Moshe Rabbeinu put the sea back together again, it goes back le'etano to its original Danai. That what? It'll split in the future. Because if it would have split now, the game's over. It can't split again. It's only since it's going to split once. Now we're splitting to do a courtesy to Yosef. It's got nothing to do with the condition. This is courtesy to Yosef. But what? Once he closed it, the Yam says, okay, I still got to make good. When is he going to make good? Na'atid lavo. The question is, why should the Yam do a courtesy to Yosef? Is this a sigula now? Person wants to cross the old way. You put a coffin in the water and it splits. What zechut did Yosef HaSadiq have? So I'll tell you the depth. How long was that seduction of Eshet Potiphar with Yosef? How long did it last? According to Hazar, it lasted for 1 year. Yom yom. Day in and day out. And finally, it says, Vahika Yom Azeh was on that day. And Yosef went in, and he reached what we might call in layman terminologies, almost the point of no return. She withered him away over the course of a year, where already he found himself that if he would have been by her for another second, he would have lost his free will. It was this close to Chas v'Shalom committing the sin. And at that point, God said, Yosef went as far as it's humanly possible to control himself. He's not an angel. God says, you controlled yourself as much as you can. Now already, you're at the breaking point. God came down. And he saved Yosef. How? He saw the image of his father all of a sudden. All of a sudden Yaakov Avinu has image flashing in Yosef's head. And Yosef runs out. Hachamim tells us if he would have stayed in that room one more second just to try to get back his shirt, would have been over. Which means when he left that room, he left at the last possible moment that was humanly possible to fight that Yetzer Hara. Sound familiar? He was at the 49th level, Kibyachol, Labdil, before he's going to commit that sin. But he got out at the last moment. When the Yam saw that strength of Yosef, and the Yam saw that Yosef HaSadiq was able to save himself before that moment, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him tremendous Yata, this way out to overcome it, that created a tremendous Milit Yosher in the Shamayim. What Yosef did became Ma'aseh Avot Siman LeBanim. Now when the Jewish people were in the same position, they're at the 49th level of Tum'ah, one more moment, spiritual oblivion. Already Yosef paved the road years before. And when the Yam saw Yosef, the Yam said, I know I didn't make a deal to split today. My deal was to split after 400 years, but I have no choice. Out of deference to Yosef HaSadiq, he was able to leave at the last moment. I must do the same chesed for Klal Yisrael, that they should also be lost. So therefore, Ayam Ra'ad Yanus, Yanus Mepere Anas. Yosef was able to generate that zichut. Good! So now we have a freebie. Or we have a credit, I should say. The sea still owes us one split from the original condition. That we didn't get paid for that yet. This was we got a freebie from Yosef. So therefore when Moshe Rabbeinu closed the sea back to its normal way, Vayasho Vayam Le'etano. Now already the original condition is intact. Now we have something to look forward to. That when Mashiach comes, the sea is going to split again. The Torah tells us, we look at the Pesukim, the Pasuk says like this, and I quote, Pasuk Chavet, Vayavohu Bnei Yisrael Betoch Hayam Bayabasha. The Jewish people, they walked in the waters, Betoch Hayam Bayabasha, into the dry land, Vamayim Laem Choma Miminam Umisimolam, and the waters became walls, barriers on the right side, on the left side. Tall, tall walls. The waters collected and collected and collected and collected, and they just walked straight through. It's interesting to note, this pasuk says, Betoch Hayam Bayabasha. They walked in the waters, in the dry land. And the pasuk says, the waters became a wall. Choma is spelt complete. Het Vav Mem He, Choma. But go further. Pasuk Chavtet. The Torah tells us, Uvnei Yisrael Halechu Bayabasha. This time the Pasuk says they walked Bayabasha Betochayam. They walked in the dry land in the waters. And here the word Choma is written Hased. It's missing a Vav. It's spelled Het Mem He. What is the discrepancy? Comes the Gaon the Bilyal from Vilna and says these two Pasukim are referring to two different type of Jews. The Jews that had faith, and the Jews that did not have faith. You see, God said to go into the waters, but how did he go into the waters? God said. So the Torah says there were those tzaddikim like Nachshon ben Aminadav, like Jews from the tribe of Binyamin, like the Gemara Sotah says, that said, if God says to go in the waters, we're going. Their people told him, what do you mean, you're going to drown? God said, Uvnei Yisrael halechu, Betoch Hayam. Betoch Hayam. There was water. But God said, you went Betoch Hayam? Bayabasha. Because of that, it's going to turn to Yabasha. Ve'amayim lehem choma. Then the waters became strong walls to protect them. But there were other Jews. The Torah says about the Jews that didn't have too much faith. Uvnei Yisrael halechu bayabasha. They waited until the dry land came. Betoch Hayam, They had waited for the Yabasha to appear Betoch Hayam. There the Torah says, V'amayim lem choma. It's missing a vav. You could read it, Hema. Hema's anger. God was angry with them. V'amayim lem Hema. God said, you don't deserve to be saved. You should have jumped in with your colleagues. And now the Torah begins with the Shira. Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. And all the rabbis ask, Az Yashir? Yashir is future. The Pshat? You see the problem, Rabotai? Most people say the Az Yashir every single day. We don't understand it. It's Kedai to spend a few moments just to understand Pshat here. I know that's not the style of this class. We have a Tehillim class, we have other classes where we go into the text. But how is it possible, such an important parasha that we say every single day, and we don't even know how to navigate the simple... What does it mean? What does it say? In our Sidurim, unfortunately, we don't have Rashi, we don't have commentary. So very quickly, just to get the understanding of what's going on in these parashiyot. As Yashin Moshe simply means, from Rashi, when he saw the miracle of the Egyptians drowning, it came into his mind to sing. As Yashir, then Moshe Rabbeinu had an idea when he saw the miracles to sing. It's giving you a narrative, yeah? Then Rashi brings down, from here we have a proof, the Hayat HaMetim from the Torah. Then Moshe will sing. Then, when is that? When Mashiach comes, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back to life. As Yashir Moshe is going to sing again. From here you see, there's resurrection of the dead from the Torah. It doesn't say, as Shar Moshe, as Yashir. He sang once, he's going to sing again, but he's not here anymore. He's going to come back. It's interesting to note, our Torah recognizes that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Goalan Shel Yisrael, died. And he's the proof of Tehiyat HaMetim. It seems our Torah does not accept that when somebody dies, that he doesn't die yet, that he's still alive. Even Goalan Shel Yisrael, this is Tehiyat HaMetim in the Torah. We can't accept that even from great leaders that pass away, that they passed away, they're not here anymore. They're going to need Tehiyat HaMetim, but it's not the pshat that they're still physically alive. But I saw an unbelievable interpretation. We learned in the beginning of this week's parasha, V'hamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eres Mitzrayim. 4/5 of the Jewish population died in Egypt. Are you familiar with that? Only 1/5 left. I once said this in the derasha on we were somewhere on a trip, and I said this, the Bnei Torah, there was an old man, and he saw me about to say this chiddush that the 4/5 died, and he stopped me. He said, don't say it, don't say it. I can't accept that explanation. It's too painful to, you're talking about millions of people. And I agree with him. It's you know, 3 million people left, so go make the hashmon. 4/5 died. You're talking 12 million people. And that's besides the 300,000 people of the tribe of Ephraim that left a few years early, and they died in the Midbar. So the rabbis asked, how was Moshe Rabbeinu able to sing? I mean, it's like when the Jews are being freed from Nazi Germany, Davdil, where you just saw the Khurban of the Jews of Europe. When they left the camp, you think they were able to sing? You're right, it's a personal salvation by Hilili Shua, but look at the destruction. Look at the damage, look at the loss of life. So you ask a question, as Yashir Moshe, you just lost 4/5 of the nation, how could you sing? Mikan, the Tehiyat HaMetim in the Torah. Because if you believe that they're going to come back, if you believe that they're not dead permanently, if you believe that there's a resurrection, you could sing. The proof of Tehiyat HaMitim is that Moshe sang. That's the proof that there's Tehiyat HaMitim. Because if they're not coming back, how can you sing? It's a permanent destruction. As Yashin Moshe, Mikan Tehiyat HaMitim in the Torah. The word as needs to be explained as well. The Gemara writes, you know, if we're going to study like we're studying it tonight, your Shacharit's going to be an hour and a half. You're not going to be able to, but at least you'll get the Pesukim that we're going to read, you'll get them clear. Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu sinned with the word as, and therefore he had to fix it with the word as. What's the story with the as? When the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was commissioned to take them out. When he made his first meeting with Paro, instead of things getting better, they got worse. They got considerably worse. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Borei Olam. Borei Olam, what's going on over here? Umeaz bati el Paro, hera la'am hazeh, ve'aseh lo hisalta et amecha. God, ever since I've come to Paro, it's gotten bad. It's going from bad to worse. You're not saving anybody. That was a complaint. Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining about the work. He sinned with the word as, ume'az bati. So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to fix that. So he comes along and starts his song, as Yashir Moshe. Oh! What is this game over here? You say the word as, so you throw it into the song, that makes it tikkun? Or it's just so easy like that? So explanation is said from the Beit HaLevi. The Beit HaLevi says like this. The claim against Moshe was that he complained to God, why are the Jews working so hard? Why are you making it so difficult for Klal Yisrael? It's easy to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the redemption. Redemption is great. But to recognize that the slavery was also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was a purpose, and there was a reason for it, that's already difficult. Moshe Rabbeinu in the early stages said, what's going on? Why are they working so hard? Since I came to Paro, it's getting worse. But then Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what, I understand now. The Kiddush Hashem was what? That we came out of Egypt. But the Kiddush Hashem is magnified, not that we left, but from where we came from. When Moshe Rabbeinu sang to God, he's saying not for the future that we're leaving. As I'm singing for the past, for the then. The fact that we were in Egypt, that magnified the sanctification of your name. I realized that it was a good thing. Because look, how could a slave nation all of a sudden become so successful to topple an empire? Adrabah, your name is exalted because we were slaves. That makes a bigger sanctification. What he was complaining on originally, now he's coming on to sing a song. I thought that the az is no good, but now I see the az is great. Like David HaMelech says in his Tehillim, Odechaki anitani v'tehili lishua. God, I thank you not only for the salvation, Odechaki anitani, I thank you for the affliction. Because from the affliction, that makes the salvation much greater. It shows your power. It shows your strength. That's the tikkun. Vayomeru lemor. They sang the following song and they said, Ashira ladonai, ki ga'o ga'am. Sus verochevora mabayam. What does it mean, ga'o ga'a? I sing out to Hashem for He is exalted. He's high. Ga'o, but there's a double language. Ga'o ga'a. How did you learn it? What are you thinking when you sing in the morning? Ga'o ga'a, what's the double language? So Rashi answers. We start with the first interpretation. Ga'o ga'a, ketargumo. Look at the Targum, what he says. Targum, I read. Neshabbah, we're going to sing, Vinodeh, we're going to thank Kodam Hashem, Are Itga'eh Al Giftanaya. He exalts himself over the exalted ones. So what's the pshat in the Targum? Who's the exalted one? Paro. Paro was exalted, he's the king of Egypt. Paro is a magician, he's a sorcerer, witchcraft. Listen, I'm not giving Paro any credit. But he was able to hold himself for a couple of the plagues. Blood, frogs, which means he was keeping pace. Snake. Which means he gave them a run for his money. At the end, we blew him out. When it came to Kareem already, he surrendered. But he definitely had koach. With the power of black magic. Ashira lashim ki ga'o ga'a. He exalts himself over the exalted ones. He is the king over the kings. That's the Targum. Then Nashi comes along and says, God is exalted over the exalted because he fights in a way that nobody fights. I'm in an army. There's a horse and a rider coming towards me. So I attack. How do I attack? I knock the rider off the horse. He falls off the horse. That's the normal way of fighting. Rashi says, Vekan sus verochebo rama bayam. Here, the Egyptian became stuck to the horse, and now, Borei Olam, when he's fighting the Egyptian and the horse, he knocks them both down at the same time. She's normally, what should have happened when they got to the Yam Suf? He should have fell off, the horse should have went one way, they were locked in. Now what happened? Sus verochebo rama bayam. He was latched. The way he fought the chariots and the riders was in an exalted way. Gaoga, he fights in an unconventional method. And then, as she says, a third interpretation. Ki gaoga'a al kol ashirot. V'chol ma she'ekales bo, od yesh bo tosefet. V'lo kemidat melech basar v'adam, she'mekalsin oto ve'en bo. God, your gaoga'a, because no matter what I praise you, and no matter what I exalt you, there's much more to say. We can never finish your praises. But a human king, whatever you praise him, even that he doesn't have. And therefore your praises are above all. Because you're the only being that can never be praised enough. We can never do justice to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hasadim. It never ends. The Shevach is Ga'oga. So we said three interpretations. Three interpretations. I'm embarrassed to say that most of us didn't know. We're saying Ashashir for 50 years. Let's review the three interpretations. Ki Ga'oga'a, that God exalts himself over the exalted ones, over Par'o. Ki Ga'oga'a, the method of his fighting. He's able to bring down the horse and rider together. What a regular warrior cannot do. And then ki ga'oga'a, he's exalted over the way we praise him. Because no matter what we say, it's never enough. Mashiach and a regular king, even what you praise him is not true. Let's go a step further. Sus verochevo, rama bayam. What does the word rama mean? Ram is high. But the pasuk says later on, Yarabayam. What does Yara mean? They went down. Make up your mind. Was it Rama or Yara? So Rashi says it was both. It was like a Ferris wheel. When they went into the waters, Borei Olam lifted them up, the waves came. Oh, like a tidal wave, like a surfer. Rama, after they got up, the wave broke. Yara, they went all the way down. Which means it was a double makah. Ramah, so the Jews see the Egypt go all the way up. Ramah was like, boom, yara, they sank to the bottom. Oziv Zimratya Vahirili Shua. Let's analyze the Botai. I'm not gonna offer any money, that's not the format of this class, but if I was able to offer money, I would challenge the listeners here tonight. Ozi, okay, Ozi is God's strength. Oz is strength. I have no problem with that. Yeah, the strength of God. What is Zimrat? What is Zimra? You should know the Botai Mechila. Everybody's saying this every morning. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Zimra is a song, you're saying. No, song. I'm reading the English here. God's strength, that's Oz, and power to eradicate. Zimra's power to eradicate. What are you talking? I thought Zimra's song. Comes Rashi, it's on the spot. The Torah tells us in the laws of Shemitah, V'charmecha lo tizmor. That in the year of Shemitah, you're not allowed to cut your vineyard. Zimira also means to cut. In this pasuk, Zimra means to eradicate. Oziv Zimratya, because of your strength and your ability to make Zimira, the Egyptians, to cut them down, like a vineyard. As a result, Vahilil Yishua. As a result, they had a salvation. You have to keep that in mind. Zimra means to cut. It's the same way the Mekubalim explain. In the morning, after Baruch She'amar, we have a section of the Tefillah called Pesukei D'Zimra. The conventional interpretation of Pesukei D'Zimra means the Pesukim of praise. That's really Zimirot, because they're all songs of David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom. That's Zimra, Hallelujah, etc. But you know what the Mekubalim say? When a person is about to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he needs to get his prayer from this world, which is the Olam HaAsiyah, and he's got to reach it to the Asilut. Asilut is all the way in the light years away. It's a big distance. What happens? On the way up to the different olamot, there's a lot of traffic. This traffic is called the mekatregim. You have like hijackers, terrorists, spiritual terrorists that are in the shamayim, you can't see them. And when the tefillah goes up, they don't want it to reach its destination, they grab it. So before you can pray the Amidah, you need to first mind sweep. You need to clear the road that the tefillah will be able to reach its destination without having any of these mekatregim attack the prayer. The question is, what's the artillery they use to kill mekatregim? The pesukim in Tehillim, when you read Ashrei, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Nafshi. Hallelujah, Kitov Zamera. Hallelujah, Tashem and Hashemayim. Shiru Shir Hadash, El Bekocho. Vaybarech David, Vayosha. And the Pesukim of Az Yashir, those Pesukim have the ability to cut and eradicate all the Meketregim. Hence, they are called Pesuke de Zimra. Melashon Lot Tizmor. This is very important to have that in mind when we're saying these tefillot. Person just starts the Amidah, there's no way the tefillah can go up. It's bound to be taken. But the Pesukim, the Zimra, it's able to destroy all the Meketregim. Did you ever notice on Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah we have a custom, we have all the foods. The sweet foods and the symbolic foods, we'll call them. Somebody asked a good question. We take the foods, the silka. Yirason melefanecha, shiyistaleku oyebenu, v'son'enu, v'chobu b'kshera atenu. The guy says, I don't have oibenu, I don't have sunenu, I don't have kshiratenu. We have so much enemies, guys that want to kill us, and our nemesis, and our opponents. Who has mevakshenu, sunenu? So somebody says, yeah, I have enemies, like my competitor in business. Well, you think that's what we're doing at Rosh Hashanah? I have nothing better to do. Come little Rosh Hashanah, and we say, Yiratzun, all our enemies, the guy's thinking about is the guy who works across the street from him. I should die, he's going to hit by lightning, Hashem Shalom, what are you talking about? Then he eats a piece of simka. What kind of business is over here? And if that's the case, so he's in trouble also, because his competitors having the same kavanah about him. So what is going to happen? Everybody's killing each other off on the night of Rosh Hashanah. You're not going to have a minyan and shul the next day. So the explanation, according to the Mikub Ba'adim, is what? V'vakshenu, v'sonenu, v'chom v'vakshenu atenu. That's the mekatregim. The spiritual enemies that don't let the tefillot rise up to the place that it's supposed to be, silence them, destroy them. So Rosh Hashanah, we're setting the prayer into mode, into place, and then Pesukei Dezimrah is able to come. Ozi v'zimrat ya, God, your strength and your zimrah and your power to eradicate. Vahilili shu'a. Oh, it's not right. The clock doesn't lie. It seems that this shi'ur is supposed to come to an end. Is it possible, Rabbi, that we could continue here and we could just say goodbye to all our affiliates wherever they may be? Okay, that's the advantage of being in New York. You get the bonus. That's it. School of Mitzvot, gentlemen, Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen for the video cast. But I'd just like to say one more for the people that came live. You get a bonus tonight. Otherwise, you have no incentive. You all move to Florida and watch it on TV. Come here, it was worth it to live in Brooklyn. Vahili Lishua. God, I thank you, you gave me salvation. This is the only part of the whole Az Yashir where we talk about ourselves. The whole Az Yashir talks about the destruction of the Egyptians, about God's glory. Once in the Az Yashir, we talk about ourselves a little. Three words, Vahi Lili Shua, you saved me. Says the great Rosh Hashiva, Achamizahati Alev Shalom, in his Perush, or in a Perush to the Midrash. The Midrash says, Az Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael, et Ashira Azot Ladonai. Says the Midrash, Lahashem Amaruha. They sang the song to God and not to humans. Of course, it says the song is sung to God. As Yashir Moshe Ibn Yisrael, Lashem, where's the Midrash coming? Lashem, velo lebasar v'adam. Says Kamizatiye that the Geulah Mitzrayim had two parts. It had the physical redemption, and then it had the spiritual redemption of God Almighty Himself. God was with us in Egypt. When we left Egypt, God also left. Shekhinah was also in Galut. God told Yaakov, I'm going to go down with you to Egypt and I'm going to come out with you. The Jewish people, when it came to their own redemption, yeah, two or three words, Vahili Lishua. But the rest of the chapter of the Az Yashir is talking about what? God, you're great. We're happy for God. We're happy for the Shekhinah. And that's what it says. Ashira Lahashem. It's our simcha is not for our personal redemption, but that the Shekhinah is out of its misery. That the galut is coming to an end for God Almighty Himself. And that's what the Midrash says, Lahashem Amaruha, Velo Lebasar Badam. So comes Hakam Ben Tzion Abba Shaul Alav Shalom, and he says, that's why the Pasuk writes, Vayosha Adonayit Yisrael Miyad Mislayim. When God is talking about the redemption, God says, oh, Yisrael, you were saved. But when the Jewish people look at it, the Pasuk writes, Vayar Yisrael Mitzrayim et al sefatayam. The Jews say, no, it's not about us. God, look how great you are. Look what you did to the Egyptians. Look at the destruction you made. We're giving the credit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the credit. God is saying, oh, You're free. We come, no, it's not personal. We don't want to be selfish. God, we did it to the Egyptians. Unbelievable. The Kiddush Hashem. We're giving God the credit that God's thrilled for us. And that's why in the Torah, and I'll conclude with this, the holiday of Pesach, we call it Pesach. Torah calls it Hag HaMatzot. What's the difference? It depends who's talking. When we're talking, we call it Pesach. Passover, Pesach. When God's talking in the Torah, he calls it Hag HaMatzot. Why? Because this is a love affair between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We come along and say, God, you're great. Look what you did to us in the slime. You passed over all our homes. You saved us. You did so many things to protect us. God, you're unbelievable. Pesach. God says, don't give me any of the credit. Look what you did. You left Egypt with a few matzahs on your shoulders. You didn't even know. You were going into the desert. There's no supermarkets or bodegas. You went into a place. Look how much you loved me and had faith in me. Borei Olam says to the Jewish people, Hag HaMatzot, I remember those matzot. You left with a few pieces of dough, Mish'arotam Sirurot. Look at the faith that you had. And we come along and say, no, Pesach. And God says, no, Hag HaMatzot. We said, no, it's you. And he says, no, it's you. And Ile Dodi V'Dodi Li. The love affair of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. And that's what we said when we left Egypt. Ashir al Hashem. God, we're happy that we came out. Yeah, three words. Vayhi li li shua. But Ashir al Hashem. You came out with us. That's more important to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Vayosha Hashem et Yisrael. God, you left. We said, no, don't look at us. Vayayah said to Mitzrayim. Look what God did to Mitzrayim. He killed them all. It's all deflecting the kavod. We're worried about the Shekhinah and the Shekhinah is worried about us. What a beautiful, inspiring poem, song, Shirah B'Ruach HaKodesh. When we sing it in the morning, we're reassured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Am Yisrael. We're encouraged of the admiration that Shekhinah has for us. And if we could have a little more Kavanah, I put you on a Derech tonight. Now you can go study the rest of the chapter with Perush Rashi, suffice. And then, I'm not saying that you'll be able to split ice in the middle, icebergs and things like that. You just have to be careful when you go on a cruise. But still, it'll make miracles, Be'ezat Hashem. And you'll read with Kavanah, and Be'ezat Hashem, everybody will enjoy. Vayhi li lishua. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen. Be'ezat another Gashar, amen.